Bang, bang, what's that sound? This is Ted Poley from Danger Danger giving you the right to rock.
The right to rock.
Recorded live at Nightmare Studios, I'm your announcer Joey Clams, and you're listening to the Gangsta Ragman Show, where two Mama Lukes talk about hard rock, heavy metal, drink craft beer, and interview the people that make the music we love. Horns up. Now get ready for two guys who are so metal, they use aluminum foil for toilet paper. It's Genghis and Ragman.
Yeah, welcome back, by the way.
Thank you.
He sounds all just kind of chasing, like,
yeah, exactly.
I'm very humble now.
Go ahead and do the thing.
Live from the Carolina Rebellion, from Nightmare Studios, it's the Genghis Ragman Show.
What the fuck was that?
He's worth every penny we pay him.
He is. John, could you hit the unpause button? Make it feel like we're at Carolina Rebellion? Oh, there you go. Thank you, sir.
You suppose there'll ever be a day when he actually does remember to pause, unpause?
Yeah, I know. Oh, who we got here? Oh, it's a little Trivium over there.
Nice. Matt Heafy, who's been doing a lot of guesting on a lot of albums lately.
Seems oh,
like.
He has?
Yeah.
Matt Heafy?
Yeah, he's been on
a lot. Is he
He was on the Insan or whatever, or Isan, the dude from Emperor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's on that dude's album.
Nice.
Latest album, yeah. Did a track and some, I think, some solo work, too.
Oh, that's the homeboy
by
we
the way,
to.
I like that fucking album, too. That's real good. I never listened to Emperor.
Yeah.
I know of him, but I never would know any of their music, even though he's supposed to be like really kind of an inspirational dude who started a lot of shit. But I listened to that album because I remember I started like the album before, maybe even the album before that, because he puts out a lot of albums as a solo dude, Isan, and I don't think that's his name. I think that's just sort of his sort of pen name or whatever. And in any case...
I think it's his given name.
It's on his birth certificate, just Isan. But no, seriously though, those albums are fucking awesome. They're really unique. I mean, he's got like, they're like metal. A lot of stuff is kind of metally, but it's got like fucking saxophone in it and stuff. It's funky, and you're just like, that doesn't, you wouldn't think it would fit, but it sounds fucking perfect. So I really dig that shit. And like I said, this last one I think was a little heavier than the last one or two albums that he'd done. And so it had a bunch of other metal guys on it, including like Matt Heafy from Trivium. And that track was really good. So if you get a chance, check it out. By the way, we didn't mention it, but I am Genghis. We got my partner Ragman, and we do our show whenever it fucking comes out. But the point is, we like to talk about heavy metal, hard rock, and melodic rock, and you know, all the good stuff. And also do a little shit about a little shtick with some craft beer, imported
schtick?
Beer and the stuff.
Did you call me a dick?
I'll
or
kill
did you,
you
say it was shtick?
I'll destroy you.
Oh, great. I pulled the CD out of the vault, and of course I can't fucking read it. It's too dark, and the print's too small.
What are you trying to read?
The fucking font. Oh, you know what?
Let me get out my bifocals.
Oh, you got your bifocals over there.
Can you believe I need fucking...
Oh, look at you.
Things now. What is the track that you're looking
There's
at?
There's a song about snow on there.
Oh, Snowfall?
Yeah.
First track on the new album, which is called... Holy crap, that's small.
It's
Silence
fucking...
in the Snow. Okay. That's wow, this is just all about some snow on this fucking album.
I want to write me a concept album just about the fact you snow.
No, what it was is last Christmas, he went to visit his family, and they played in the snow, and he had such a great time. He couldn't stop thinking about it.
Help me out over here.
Tonight, he's got the wax on it, so it wasn't as pop like the. Remember back in the day, we had a bunch of beers that were corked, and every time you started to go to open one, I was like shielding my face, like this shit's gonna explode.
We had a few explode.
Yeah, there some of them got a little crazy on us, but this one is. Don't even start. I'm sure it does, but not.
Someone turned on the heat.
If it will get you to shut up.
Yeah.
And keep you from jacking off, yes.
Anything that does that.
Because this rod's about to fucking blow.
Okay, that's a... this fucking guy.
This rod's about to blow.
But this one, you know, speaking of blowing and such, as disgusting as that is...
John?
This beer is a new one. I didn't see until I was at the store the other day. and I had to get it just because, again, one of our favorite breweries, and this one's an American porter that looked really delicious, actually, for all the funniness of the name. The name itself, let's just say it, is Bee's Nuts, Holmes.
Aunt Bee's Nuts, Holmes?
For sure, dude. And these guys have put something together that sounds really, I'm fucking excited about it. So let me just read off the bottle as we usually do to kind of get the brewer's notes about it. Bee's Nuts, let's just agree that hazelnuts and honey are a perfect pair.
Fuck yeah.
So it was only natural that we put them in a beer together. When you hold Bee's Nuts to your nose, you'll detect an earthy sweetness from the orange blossom honey. When you put Bee's Nuts in your mouth, you'll first pick up a distinct chocolate character. This is normal for a robust porter. Swirl it around on your tongue, and the darkness will yield to a combination of caramel and hazelnuts. Swallow and enjoy a satisfyingly clean finish.
Nice.
So that sounds fucking nice. And it's 8.1% by volume for this 1 pint, 6 fluid ounces bottle here. And I'm fucking excited about it, man.
Oh, me too, so man.
Let's just fucking
you told me about it.
When I told you about it, yeah, you were like, oh. You were like Homer. Oh.
Fucking anything with fucking honey in it?
Yeah. So let's check this out. Look on the, first of all, suds?
Nothing.
You know, nothing. It's wild that it's not very, not much head on it at all.
Nothing.
Hardly any. It's weird. Looks I don't like know if that's brandy. A good thing or not. But
looks like a brandy or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, so right? I guess on, well, I guess that's tied to the look.
I don't like it.
It's dark as pitch, dude, holding up to the monkey lamp.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it looks
lamp.
Nice, but I don't like that there's no carbonation or so
maybe
lacing.
Maybe a 3, 2.5?
Yeah, maybe a 2.5 or 3.
All right. Hope and then aroma. Tastes. Yeah, let's see.
Oh, it smells fucking
smells
awesome.
Smells wonderful,
that's a 4.
Dude. Yeah, that's nice. Nice. Like, I smell the chocolate part.
Same, pretty, but it tastes good.
And a little touch of the hazelnuts I can smell in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it smells amazing. And then I smell a little bit of the honey. So, fuck, let's go for it, dude.
Cheers.
Let's do this. Nice.
That's fucking nice. Real nice.
Wow.
And dude, it doesn't taste like you thought it would taste. You thought it'd be all kind of it looks like it'd be flat.
Right.
But there's a nice level of carbonation.
Yeah, that's interesting
in there.
To have something taste, you know, like a normal beer, but have like no head to it. That always freaks me out when I see that.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got on the temperature.
I think it's a
little
bit warmer.
It's a little warmer than usual, I think. That's a 66.9. So it's about right
70
in there.
Degrees.
Yeah, so it's about right in there where you expect a beer.
Would you
like
want
that
it at 50?
I would prefer it. I mean, I like my beers cold, but that's because I'm an American and that's just how we're used to doing it. But this isn't so bad. I mean, it tastes good. And you know, by experience, the warmer they get, the more flavors seem to come out.
Mm-hmm.
So far, what do you think on the flavor? You want to give that the taste? You want to give that a rating?
God, it's delicious. I really taste those hazelnuts right now.
Uh-huh. And they're not overpowering, because hazelnutty flavored shit can sometimes be too much.
Who is that? Is it Rogue that has a hazelnut brown?
Oh, yeah. Rogue. I think you're right. Yeah, yeah.
And it's real strong in hazelnuts, but I love that beer.
Fuck yeah, dude. That's a good one. That's one of my favorites. Yeah, the hazelnut brown nectar or whatever it is. That shit's delicious. Oh, this is good. Oh, okay. The hazelnuts really come in as afterwards.
Oh, yeah,
On the back of the mouth.
That's what I was really feeling.
Good. Oh, that's nice.
Or tasting.
But you get a little, like they say, a little chocolate up front. And then you get that nice hazelnuts at the back. The honey, you know, I'm not tasting so much, but I bet it'll come in later.
I don't taste the honey either.
Right now, I think it's getting overpowered a little bit by the chocolate.
The hazelnut
and the hazelnut.
Chocolate, yeah.
But I'm not complaining. It's really good. So they've got, they don't have a score yet on Beer Advocate, which is weird. They say they need 10 reviews before they'll do that. The only review in here right now, give it a 3 out of 5. I'm not sure why that is, because I think on, they gave it for the looks. This guy gave it a... 3.25 for the aroma. He gave it a 2.75.
Really?
Yeah, I think the aroma is great. Nice. The taste, he gave it a 3. I would give it probably a 4.
Yeah, me too.
And the mouthfeel, I'd give it maybe because it's a little watery. I'd give
it's
it maybe
kind of a good
a 3.
Mix. 3, 3.5.
So overall, probably 3, 3.5.
I would lean towards a 3.5 because it got 2 4s.
Mm-hmm.
The look is a little offsetting.
Yeah,
just because there's no
it looks funky,
suds.
Like you're like I'm not gonna like this.
Yeah,
but it's really it tastes
it's
amazing.
Delish, yeah, I like it.
All right, well,
it'd be
sweet.
A good little dessert beer type thing.
Yeah, yeah, and good cigar beer too.
Oh fuck yeah,
with the right kind of cigar and something nice and sweet. So, well, cool, man. So you want to pop into a song, maybe?
Yeah, I tell you what, I got this band called Monster Truck.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I can't fucking read. Where's my fucking phone? By the way,
oh here.
Yeah. The monkey lamp isn't helping us.
Actually, I found out about these guys from D. Snyder's podcast when he was still doing it.
Oh, yeah?
He's like, dude, I was checking out this Monster Trucker. Someone told him about him, or he heard him on the radio, and he really dug them. And I was like, fuck yeah, dude. So I checked them out, and I really
nice.
Dug it as well. I'm like, man, they're a Canadian band. I think it's when he's doing his little play thing
uh-huh.
around the holidays. And I was like, damn, that's a pretty good fucking record, man. So got there on the little fucking Amazon thing
uh-huh.
and said, you know what?
The inner tubes?
What, goof? I'm going to fucking order this. So I tell you what, let's go with Don't Tell Me How to Live. And this is off Monster Truck's record, Sitting Heavy. It's kind of cool. It's got a dude in a little fucking denim jacket.
Nice, the classic.
Yeah.
I'm a story of a man who makes his way on his own. Don't need no kind of direction from no one. I got myself a pretty old soul. Ain't nobody gonna tell me how to live.
Dig that.
Fuck yeah, that's pretty good.
I thought you'd dig that.
I dig me some new tunes, Holmes.
Fuck yeah, we've been getting a lot of them too.
Well, so anyway, as we said, we're in the thick of summer.
Yeah.
And
fucking 100, dude, on the news today, it's like, we got a bloody heat dome over like parts of the United States.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. They're always coming with new names. Like, I remember when they came up with the polar vortex or something a year or two ago.
We're in the heat dome.
Yeah, the heat dome. They're always making up new fucking names. So, yeah, I remember recently, a couple days ago, they said, the little chick cheerfully says, oh, it's going to be, you know, 96, but with the heat index, it's going to feel like 107. I'm like, you fucking whore.
Did she say, welcome to the heat dome? It's all fun and games.
I was like, ain't no fun and games, hon.
No shit.
That shit wasn't cool. But, you know, I have to say, I walked to lunch and it was hot, but I didn't break a sweat. Felt all right. So maybe we're getting better.
Yeah.
Or we're slowly dying and we just don't realize it.
Hey, before you guys get into your subject, can we have a little talk?
A little talk about what?
Well, what do you want to know? Or what do we don't want to know?
No shit.
I just, you know, you guys say you're metal fans, and something huge just happened, and you're not even covering it.
Well, dude, we hadn't got the news or anything like that.
Yeah, what are you even talking
what
about?
Do you want to talk about?
Four letters. AC fucking DC.
Oh, shit. What
not
about him, dude?
Shit again.
I thought we had this shit fucking ironed out.
Dude, I fucking got your texts. I got your fucking voicemails. I know all about it. It's not relevant.
Yeah, like you fucking know.
Fucking A, this guy. Whenever we get to a fucking battle of wits with this guy, it's always dicey.
So what the fuck, dude?
Well, you heard about the mix-up, right?
Yeah, I heard about the mix-up. Again, I've heard all about this bullshit.
Yeah.
Are you a McCheese? Have y'all mended the fence yet?
No shit.
Have y'all kissed and made up?
We don't fucking kiss, man.
What, do you fuck?
How do you expect to make up?
Real funny. Ha, ha. Ha, fucking ha.
This fucking guy. Got a thin skin now, do you?
No shit, he is. He's been testy since that happened, you know?
No shit.
Really man. Testy. So what the fuck, dude?
Yeah, quick, because you can go change your tampon.
McCheese, get the fuck out of here. I'm going to tell the story.
What the fuck's going on here? What are you guys waking me up for? I mean, calling me out of my meeting.
Dude, it's your fucking boy over here. We had nothing to do with him, and all of a sudden he's got a statement to make.
Yeah, I don't know. Why the fuck does he got to get all up in our business about it? Every fucking time, like, we need to have a fucking press conference about it all the time.
Right. You all know the contract as well as I do. I'm the one who wrote it up. And, every time he wants to talk about his little horse shit, he's allowed to do it, all right? As long as it doesn't take any longer than 10% of the length of the show.
Okay, let me read the script then. Jeez. Oh, wow. What happened with AC/DC, McCheese?
Oh, yeah, you think it's funny, don't you?
I'm reading the script, just like you put in
front
of me.
I mean, what do you care how we do it?
Look, pal, you guys get paid handsomely for the work you do, all right? So I don't need to hear any back talk from you guys. Just do the fucking script. Make it sound real. All this is going to get cut out, right?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
We got you covered.
We wouldn't have this in, no.
Good, all right, yeah. You got my good side, right? On the cameras?
Well, you know this isn't a video show, but yeah, the cameras are running.
Good, good. How does my ass look?
It's pretty fucking great, tight. Man.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
All right, just get on with it.
So what the fuck happened? Oh, hold on. See, wow. How could such a mix-up happen?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked me that, Genghis. The thing is, a lot of things went down. We got there was a little mix-up with the baggage that started off on the wrong foot. We went there, and so, you know, I'm looking around. I'm looking for fucking Rivendell and all the elves and shit. I'm wondering, is this the place where they get all that shit? Because I don't understand what's going on.
You know they're from Australia, right? Yeah. Not New Zealand.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I wasn't aware of this. Nobody told me that. That little piece of information would have been really helpful, all right?
Well, it's sort of fucking... I mean, they've been in business for how fucking long now?
Yeah, fucking
AC/DC's been around like 40
like
years,
that.
Buddy.
Yeah,
that's all water under the bridge, okay, tough guy? The bottom line is this. By the time we got into the airport in Australia, then nobody was around to see us. So we kind of pitched... You know, John made a little bit of a hissy fit, right? Let's just say. And he turned over some things. Apparently, he grabbed a couple of girls' asses. I don't know how that happened. Because I heard it was a couple of porters. But the point is this. We were railroaded out of that town. They drove us right out to the edge of the sea, tried to drown us in the coral reef. It was pretty ugly.
Well, I had heard that John was singing Highway to Hell and Back in Black in the airport and demanding to see Angus Young.
Yeah, as if the motherfucker's just on demand out of a vending machine.
And then you guys got...
Austin.
Ousted and escorted by security to a special room.
Right, where they did a little search action.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was, I never got that guy's name. He said he called me. Look, this is the deal. The bottom line is this. You guys need to just lay off the guy. You know, the business is done, but it needed to be talked about. It's talked about, so let's just move on. Suffice it to say that he's no longer in the running for the role. He did his part. He was compensated appropriately, and everything's fine. So let's just move on.
Hey, just one last thing. I want to drop this because I want to get back to the show. But I read in the Inquirer that apparently Axl Rose, you represent him, and he gave you a bigger cut, and that's why John got fucked.
What? Is that true?
I read that in the Inquirer.
Inquirer is hardly the bastion of journalism that everybody likes to think it is. All right, so last time I read that when I was sitting on a can, I saw some of those passages. They were highlighted apparently by somebody who was in there before me, and they're patently false. I can say that without a doubt. So just disregard anything you read in the Inquirer. Thank you very much.
Okay, whatever. It's news. Whatever. It's on Brave Words, so whatever.
I'm glad to, you know, believe me, I'm glad to drop it.
I am too. Can we move on?
Yes, now you can move on.
Oh, thank you. So anyway, so we've got the controversy down from John and McCheese. And dude, John, I thought he was crying. He left.
He seemed a little sad. He was wearing his AC/DC jock.
Yeah.
He ran out.
It's got little two bells for the ball.
It's all right.
It says AC/DC. Hell's Bells.
Right, and it was all in black.
Yeah.
So, I think he was a little disappointed, let's just say it.
Well, we're here at Carolina Rebellion.
Uh-huh.
It's really hot out here today.
Woo!
Woo! Woo!
Hey-o!
So, we're watching Seven Dust, baby.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude.
And I gotta tell you,
Sweet bucket hat.
Speaking of festivals, I recently went to one called the River City Rock Fest in San Antonio.
Yeah?
And Seven Dust was there. And unfortunately, their sound wasn't very good. It was very muffled sounding.
Really?
Real bassy.
That sucks.
I was really bummed out. It was my first time seeing him, and I've been dying to see him for years.
Well, that sucks, dude. Because, yeah, the last time I saw him was at Warehouse Live. And they were phenomenal. Awesome. Yeah, they sounded fantastic.
Oh, fucking
it was a really great show.
So we should play some Seven Dust.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Let's do it.
Should we play something new, something borrowed, or something blue?
Let's go classic.
Classic? What do you want to play?
I don't know. Bitch?
Why not? John. We'll call it John.
Little bitch.
Yeah. I can imagine to be like you. The pain and the suffering you put me through. I can imagine to be like you. The pain and the suffering you put me through. I mean, I know we're. Well, I guess we're about to get into a topic. What do you think of these festivals, though? Real quick.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned it earlier. The thing is,
we are bound for blood.
You know, I have to wonder if I've been thinking about this a lot, actually, because we went to Ozfest. What, 2007? It was a long time ago.
And we went to the what was that thing? Monster Energy drink thing?
Yeah, something like that. And the thing that I've noticed is a lot of these big festivals, for some crazy reason, hit in the fucking summer.
Yeah.
Which is the worst fucking time. Now, I understand most of these because of the size of them, the number of bands you're having. Because there's so many bands, you can't even show them, like, linearly. You have to show, like, in parallel, like, there's this stage, the main stage, and this other stage, so that acts are playing at the same time. That's how much shit you got going on that you're trying to cram into a short period of time.
Yeah.
And so you're cramming all this in there, which means there's not really a break, much of a break.
No.
So you've got all these people, and it's in the dog days of summer, and you're out in the open. They're not like in a fucking warehouse or something
right.
that's air-conditioned. So you're literally standing outside in the heat, in the full-on fucking sun, because it's not like it's raining or anything. So you got full sun on you, and it's all motherfucking day long.
Oh, yeah.
And some of these are two, sometimes 3 days long. So it's like staying at the beach from like 10 o'clock in the morning to fucking 10 o'clock at night for 3 days straight.
Stop.
You would be fucking burnt, man.
Oh, yeah.
So when we went to Ozfest, I actually had to go to the little emergency tent that they had set up.
Yeah.
Thank God for it. Because I had heat stroke. And that happened twice in 1 day. I had it. I went in there, rested, felt better, went back out. Had it again. Had to go back in there later that day.
Why did they have a vagina painted on the tent?
So I felt like I was going home. No, seriously though, it's like, what the fuck is going on? I mean, it's not like you can't be like, who'd have thought people would get hurt in all the heat?
Oh, dude,
so you know what I'm saying?
Too.
I'm wondering if it's irresponsible of these people to do it this way. Now, the obvious question is, well, how would you do it? I'm like, I don't know, but it's not my problem. It's not my job to come up with how I would do it. The point is, if you're in charge of it, you need to make sure everybody's fucking safe. And I wonder if these things are as safe as they should be.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. Or maybe just Texas isn't. I mean, I don't want to say don't have these in Texas because I want them here.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I suppose if you're up in maybe up the north or something, maybe it's a little less dangerous because it's not as fucking hot.
But
I don't
there's
know.
There's a heat dome over a big part of the U.S. right now. A heat dome.
Whatever the fuck that is.
No shit.
No, but yeah, I get what you're saying. The thing is, it's like, and you know, with global warming, all that kind of shit they've been talking about for years now, is it's only getting worse. Every year is like seems to be hotter than the last, even if it's just a degree or so. The point is, it's like we need a new fucking way for these huge festivals to take place. Because I don't necessarily mind the festival idea of it. I don't mind seeing a shitload of my favorite bands together. We've been wanting to go to Prague Fest or whatever.
Power. Yeah, in Atlanta.
For fucking years because it sounds like a killer fucking lineup every year.
Yeah.
So I'd love to go to that. But it's like the prospect of standing out in the Atlanta fucking heat for fucking
I think that's only indoors, though.
Is it all okay?
Yeah,
good.
Not like
see,
this,
then
no.
That's how it's supposed to be done. That's my point.
A lot of the videos
you can't
I've seen
make
from
people stand outside that long. Because when we were there, part of it is so the heat's beating down on your ass from above. It had to be at least 100 degrees.
Oh, easy.
And then we're standing on the fucking blacktop.
Concrete,
we're standing.
Yeah.
So it's like we're in a fucking oven, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're standing on an aluminum pie pan out in the fucking sun, watching these bands. And I'm like, this is fucking crazy. And you're surrounded by people, so it's hot anyway.
Right.
You know. There was some shows I know where they'll take like the fucking like the water cannons and spray it over the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
That helps a little bit. But
little
there's
bit.
No fans because you're out in the middle of, you know, where are they going to put them? But it's like you guys need to come up with something. You know what I mean? I don't care what it is. It's not my problem to come up with, you know.
Right.
That's if you're going to organize a giant festival, you need to consider all of these things going on and account for them.
Right.
And so that's what I was thinking about that whole shit. Otherwise, like I said, if it's indoors, I'm all fucking for it. Let's do it.
You get a lot of bands, but the sets are abbreviated.
Yeah,
that
too, because how else do you cram them in? So you want to get maybe a 30-minute set at best?
I was going to say, at River City Rock Fest, Wifey wasn't real happy with it, but I wanted to get there early because Red Sun Rising, one of my favorite newer bands,
was playing.
And they went on late. I mean, if you check the website, it says, they're going to be playing at 12:20. And then right after that was Pop Evil. I was like, I like Pop Evil, too. So, I tell you what, let's play some Red Sun Rising.
Let's do that.
How about the other side? So anyway, they go on, and as soon as they start playing, they get moved to 12:45. Pop Evil starts a few minutes after fucking Red Sun Rising. So they're battling for sound, even though there's two different stages, right?
Right.
So it was funny. It was really funny. The guy with Red Sun Rising was a very good performer, singer guy, and he goes, we're just going to have to tell Pop Evil to shut the fuck up for a minute so you guys can hear us better. It was pretty funny, you know, because they're playing over there and stuff like that. And they're on the big stage, and Red Sun Rising on the smaller stage, of course.
Nice.
Smaller band, but, dude, what a show they put on. Really, really solid, tight, young band. I really fucking dug them. I was kind of bummed I didn't get to see Pop Evil. I saw them open up for, you know, Wifey and I were talking about this. We can't remember We think it might have been for the Scorpions several years ago.
Oh, yeah?
It was like Pop Evil's Rat and the Scorpions. Or it may have been that Whitesnake, was it Priest? Didn't Priest and Whitesnake play together?
It might have been. It might have been, yeah.
Something like that. I don't know. It was one of those. It was a while back because we went to San Antonio and saw them.
Nice.
But good show. Good show. But you know what? It was interesting. And I got to see Scorpions. I hadn't seen them in forever. I really enjoyed seeing that. Again, I got an opportunity to finally see Seven Dust.
Nice.
Unfortunately, it wasn't. I still want to go see him again. I feel like I didn't see him.
Didn't represent well.
Yeah.
It wasn't really
just because of sound. And part of it was I was fucking tired, dude. We got there at noon.
See, that's the other thing about these festivals. It's
great
at the beginning.
Man.
Yeah, it's great at the beginning, and it's great when you've got all the energy. It's just fresh, and and it's great in theory. The idea that all my favorite bands, at least within a certain genre or something, all in the same day. That's fantastic. You know, but it's you standing on your feet, dude.
Yeah.
You want me to stand on my feet in 100 degree or 100 plus weather for a day or two straight for fucking 8 hours at a time?
Oh, dude, it was fucking 12 hours, bro.
Yeah, that's the thing, even more. But the point is, it's like, how the fuck am I ever going to... When I'm 20, maybe I could pull it off.
Yeah.
But I ain't fucking 20, no, dude. I'm almost 50, dude. So I'm sorry if I'm a fat old fuck, but I just can't pull it off. So I'm not saying, obviously, change it for me, the old man. No, what I'm saying is, you know... What other alternative is? Because some of these bands only show up on festivals.
Right.
I guess because it's economically
easier
for them to tour.
River City Rock Fest was a little bit different. It was kind of neat. If you wanted to pay mega bucks, which we did.
Or like the VIP seating or some shit.
We got VIP.
Nice.
Which was, there was a building, like a shed thing with some fans and shit going on.
There you go.
There was beer and wine inside.
Uh-huh. And, but that's like a, that's not, you can't see the bands from there. It's like a hangout area or whatever.
Hangout area that had a big screen TV showing the bands.
Oh, that's
on the main
stage.
Cool. And then we were right by the, second stage.
Uh-huh.
Wifey grabbed a table.
Uh-huh.
She had her tablet. She said, just go see who you want. I'm here with the Scorpions. Fuck everybody else.
Oh, fair enough.
I was like, well, come see Megadeth with me, or come see,
Megadeth is
you know,
nice.
Bullet for My Valentine, or...
Because
she kind of digs that.
Megadeth
you know?
With Kiko, right?
Yeah, with Kiko Loureiro.
Nice. He was ripping, wasn't he?
Fucking dude. Megadeth was awesome.
Fuck yeah, dude.
We should play something off that new Megadeth record.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know a good track. Maybe a little DC?
Yeah, let's do
it. Let's do it.
We see each other through different eyes. Segregating ourselves by class. It's me against you and everything that they do. This planet's become one big spinning disaster. If you don't like where we're going, then you
that's the thing is I these all these years later I'm still a Megadeth fan, not so much a Metallica fan anymore. And I'm not trying to give them shit. It's just the music doesn't hold up as well as Megadeth shit holds up.
The body of work
of
Megadeth versus Metallica, Megadeth wins hands down.
Yeah, that's the thing. Just over consistency.
Yeah.
General consistency is about the same for all those years. Yeah, they had some changes here and there, but nothing where you just like you sold out or you felt like this just isn't my Megadeth or something like that. They just evolved as any band does over the course of the years.
They had one.
Not every Black Sabbath album sounds exactly the same, you know?
Dude, I was listening to Never Say Die the other day. That's a good record. That was the last one with Ozzy before he left and Dio came in.
Uh-huh.
And dude, I was like, I think the lead track, Never Say Die or something like that. That was a really good song. And I was like, man, I want to buy that and just, like, get into some, you know, vintage Sabbath, whatever.
Because you're on your vintage kit,
yeah,
which
I've
is
been
cool.
Into
I'm
that,
digging that you know, you're all yeah. into that. That's funny.
So I was listening to it the other night. And I put that in, I'll Never Say Die, and I was like, I like this record. Then I put in some Stones, and then I put in my boy Dan Reed. Fuck yeah, baby.
Was that a good flow?
Hey, it actually flowed pretty well, uh-huh. and wifey came down, had a glass of wine, we chatted, getting ready to go on our sabbatical, and
that's right.
I was like, how about that Dan Reed over there? And she goes, I fucking digging it, dude. I said, if they come to the States, and they come around Houston, anywhere in Texas, we're fucking going. She goes, done.
I remember it was back in the day when we were, I think, still in college. Mm-hmm. You were raving about Dan Reed Network. Didn't you? There was even a show that I missed that you that
I
played.
I got you a free fucking ticket, and you're like, my pussy hurts. I can see it in my vagina.
No, where were they playing?
You were fingering yourself something that night.
I would.
Cardi's.
Cardi's, fuck. That would have been a
dude,
great.
Dude, and it was like a handful of people in there.
Oh, so how was it? It was a killer
fucking
show.
One of the best shows ever.
Fucking
Dan came in there and sung his fucking ass off. That's man.
I like bands that are like Cheap Trick, where they just come in and it's like,
they don't care.
We're singing this like it's the only fucking show we're ever going to do.
Pretty much.
And I like that. I respect
dude, they opened up for the Stones in Europe, so they played for huge crowds.
Fucking A, dude.
And they played like we were a huge crowd. There's probably 200 people in there total.
That's fucking cool shit.
And we got our tickets free.
Props to them for that.
Oh, yeah.
That's fucking awesome, dude.
So, this new record's really good. I don't know if it... Oh, look at fucking Belladonna up there with LeJean. What are they singing?
Oh, fuck. I'm never good at remembering the names of Seven Deaths songs.
I know.
I'm terrible with it. But it's one of my favorites.
That's fucking cool.
He's wearing a Seven Deaths shirt, too.
Yeah.
And LeJean has just got his classic sleeveless action with the weird bands like he's a fucking superhero. I got my leather bands.
Wow, fucking Joey sounds good with them.
Dude,
looks like he's about to have an aneurysm.
No shit. They do a lot of that, though, because I saw a show that was King's X playing with Seven Dust. And I think it was like Ty was playing guitar, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, nice.
And Doug came out and sang on a song
or
two.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, because it was like one of those like rock cruises or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fuck, that would have been the shit.
Oh, we should do one of those rock cruises.
And that's one of those things, too, that is a cool aspect of those, what do you call them, mega festival shows is because all those bands are together. A lot of them, you know each other. You might get a little serendipitous meet where like somebody will come out just on the fly and just sing with the band, and you'd be like, fucking hey, when's this ever going to happen? Yeah. Sweet. So I love the idea of that kind of shit going on. So, I mean, there's things to like about a festival show. I'm not trying to shit on them.
Oh, yeah.
I just like, you guys got to be careful about that. I wish you wouldn't. I mean, if we didn't live in Texas, it might be different. Like, if we lived in California where, the you know, the temperature never gets above fucking 80 or something.
Oh, well, let's not say that. Like the I've been Bay there where it's over 100. Yeah. I had fucking beer explode my suitcase because it got so fucking hot there, man.
Bad memories because it involved beer. Well, no, but I hear what you're saying. That's a good point.
Before we shut this thing down, though, I just want to bring up something else that Genghis and I did here recently. We got the great opportunity to see Lynch Mob.
Oh, fuck yeah.
On tour with the for the Rebel record.
Uh-huh.
Dude, how fucking awesome was that show?
Fucking was kick ass, dude. And my boy was shredding away.
And I was telling Genghis tonight, you know, I went to this festival, saw Scorpion, saw Megadeth, saw Bold for My Valentine, I saw my Red Sun Rising group. You know, I saw some really great bands today. So I really enjoyed Hell Yeah. They were fucking awesome that day. But you know what? When we went and saw Lynch Mob a week or so ago, I think I fucking enjoyed that more than the whole fucking festival.
Oh, yeah?
Because the show was... I mean, it sounded so fucking good, you know?
I'm down with... I like I guess that's... Again, it's going to sound like I'm trying to shit on festivals. I'm not. It's just I like club shows.
Yeah.
You know, back when I was a kid, I just wanted to see a show, period. But there's something about being in a fucking club where you're closer up to the band.
Mm-hmm.
You can really hear the sound. And, you know, now we got to wear our fucking earplugs because we're old guys and we don't want our fucking ears to die. But I fucking love that feeling as opposed to being like when we saw, you know, Monsters of Rock tour, and we're just like fucking way the fuck away, we're at fucking watching the Beatles at fucking Yankee Stadium. We're just like, I can't, that little dot there, that's that dude I like. Yeah, you know what I mean? Sure. It's like I can't fucking tell anything. So I like the intimacy of a club show, being within a 20 feet of the band, and getting to check them out, do what they do live. Especially, you know how it is, you can tell the guitarist in the crowd when you see a show, because like when somebody like Lynch is doing a solo, all their heads are going.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to watch what he's doing on the fretboard.
Dodging through people.
Some dude, some dude's head will get in my way. I'm like, motherfucker, it's the part I want to see how he plays that.
Of course, the fucking tall guy that doesn't give a fuck about what's going on.
Exactly.
Gets in the way.
He's some half-drunk fucking redneck dude who just stands there and goes, hey, I got me a good seat. This is great. Who is this dude? It's like, you motherfucker, I'm trying to see this lick.
Exactly.
But anyway, that's... I generally like them. I got to mention, too, it's funny. You keep saying Red Sun Rising, and I know that's a band, but I confuse it with Red Tide Rising, which is this new Colorado band that I'm into. Yeah. So if you don't mind, we'll play a track. We may have done this on the last show, but I dig them a lot.
Let's do it.
So let's do something like You're Nothing But Shit. That's a great track.
You wrote that about you guys.
Oh, thanks, John. Glad you're back. Cry, baby.
Fuck you.
Play this song. That was cool. Well, let's play some Lynch Mob
real quick,
and then we'll jump into our classics.
Yeah, sure.
This is going to be a music-heavy show, right?
Well, sure.
How about The Ledge? You like The Ledge off Rebel?
Oh, yeah.
That's a fucking cool kind of slower number.
Fuck yeah.
Fucking dig that shit. Would you be so nice to give us a classic tune?
Classic.
I fucking love that Zeppelin thing. You know, that. That's such a great, great fucking. That's fucking awesome.
Got a great look.
Love the ocean. That's a great song, but fucking heavy as fuck.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Tracy G-ified it.
That's what I like about that. That's what I like about Led Zeppelin, that they had a lot of different kind of aspects to the music, but that the G-Man just fucking ran with that and amplified it.
Oh, I agree. Fucking G, the G-Master. Dude, we have not given up props to his new record, Tramp.
We should, because it's a fucking damn good album.
Oh, fuck yeah. I know we played a lot of music, and we said we're going classic. Before we go to classic,
sure,
let's give Mr. G his due. Okay. How about something off Tramp?
Mm-hmm.
A little DC? TV.
I lost a pound. Wait, I found it.
I got my little blazer on. I look professional now.
This fucking guy.
Fuck it.
He's only like 48-year-old, 12-year-old.
It's anthrax. It's fucking anthrax. This dude's... Okay. Everybody raise your hand if you think Jose Majera is a fucking douche.
What, he's like Bam Margera's brother or something?
I think his last name's Margarine or something. Okay. Margarine or something.
He's trying to sound cool.
I think I'm cool. I got me tattoos, right? I got me little ears pierced. I don't look as much of a pussy, but I'm still a little bit of a pussy.
He's got a goofy fucking look. I'm not just trying to be a dick about it, but it's just some people are just like, dude, you're trying too hard.
Oh, dude, I listen to him on. Down. He's on fucking satellite radio.
Oh, he's somebody you know. Okay.
Yeah. But he annoys the piss out of me. I don't know why.
A lot of them annoy.
And then when I saw him, I'm like, okay, I get it. I know
that's
why.
That's the thing. I guess my style is that, like, I don't need you to be all like, "What's up, dude?" and be all mm-hmm. Mr. Cool. It's like he could be totally mellow and I'm down.
Well, that's what he is. He's like, "What's up, dude?" He's like surfer dude that's like turned metal dude.
Yeah, and it's just like, calm down, dude. Because
I got to get me some tattoos to make myself look.
I'm not trying to be racist. He's got kind of a foreign look there.
I think he's Hispanic, right?
Is that that's one thing? He could be, for all I know, he's fucking Libyan or
who's
something.
Who's that fat dude? I'm going to bring some fat dude on the stage,
look,
right?
I'm out here with my affliction shirt, brah. It's like, that was about 5 years ago, and you're about 20 years too old for it, but whatever.
I got me little stonewashed jeans on. They're like in style, right? And I got me fake razor blade on me necklace.
So anyways.
I hope it didn't cut me, right?
Enough ragging these poor
that
guys.
That dude's like, fucking... Got me tie-dyed Hendrix shirt on. I'm validated, right? I'm fucking validated.
I know. He's like, what is, brah? I just got my free tickets.
What's up, brah?
As long as I'm on the video. But
I'm going to feel like shit if those guys are veterans.
I think that's what it is.
Oh, yeah, maybe like so. Dicks.
But in any case, let's move on. Did you want to go with your classic of the week or me first?
We should move on.
Just end this off right now.
Well, I want to go with mine. I rediscovered something.
Last
couple days.
It's fun to do that, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, I forgot I fucking was into these dudes so hard back in the day, and they're still fucking awesome.
I think I actually bought this after the craze was over. I got it for a whole 39 cents.
Little.
No, $3.99. Half price books.
Still, that's not... Oh, that's the best deal when you get...
But, honestly, I was getting some stuff ready for the sabbatical, and I was like, it's been a while since I listened to Sweet F.A.
Sweet F.A. I'm scared to ask what F.A. is.
I'm guessing fucking ass. I don't know.
Sweet fucking ass.
You damn straight it is. I helped those guys name that band.
Oh, yeah, that's why they did so well, right?
Damn. What?
Yeah. Bad. Yeah, they were platinum, right?
No, tinfoil.
They struck tinfoil. They didn't do real well. I think this album did okay. I don't know. But anyway, I was digging this track, man. I was like, it has a good little fucking groove to it and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I remember I've heard the record. It's just been a long time. But it's, you know, kind of some of those records you're like, I don't remember really any of the songs, but I knew I liked them. So uh-huh. I just threw it in. So I threw in this record, and there's this song called Liquid Emotion. I'm like, that's the one. Got a really nice little fucking groove, that little bass line.
Uh-huh.
I played you a little bit of that earlier.
Yeah, yeah, that was fucking awesome, dude.
So let's go with a little bit of Sweet F.A.
I did a quick look real just to see, you know, who these guys are, see something about them on the interwebs here. And yeah. There is actually an album by Love and Rockets called Sweet F.A.
Really?
But they say that the title refers to Sweet Fuck All, which is a modern variant of Sweet Fanny Adams, which is a common British naval slang for nothing. Like when people mm-hmm. say fuck all.
Yeah.
So Sweet Fuck
All. Fuck all.
But there also was something I saw about a girl who was murdered named Fanny Adams, that's where it came from, which sounds kind of dark.
That was my sister, you fuck. You better just leave it alone. Back off now.
It says here, Fanny Adams was a young English girl murdered by a solicitor's clerk, Frederick Baker, in Alton, Hampshire. The expression Sweet Fanny Adams refers to her and has come through British naval slang to mean nothing at all.
Just jab that fucking knife in my back.
Believe me, I would like to.
Fuck. Well, hold on. What year was that?
Fanny Adams?
Yeah, when she died.
It was like 1867 or something.
And that's your sister.
Let's not even get into logistics.
Logistics.
Like, it's so what painful that I can't account for 140 fucking years. But whatever, dude. This fucking guy.
Fucking dickhead.
So anyway.
His mother had him when she was 100.
Negative 100. Fucking guy.
Oh, God.
Sorry, did you even play your song? I don't even know.
We just played it. Thank God. Yeah, that was Sweet Emotion. Or no.
Liquid Emotion.
Liquid Emotion. That's Sweet Emotion.
The beer is hanging with us.
It's a fucking bee's nuts on. Look at these. look at bee's nuts on.
believe me.
Ambie Davis is nuts on.
Believe me, not to get political, but these days I was like, is that D's nuts? That candidate still, you know, that ship hasn't sailed, has it? Because we might need the write-in candidate.
Fucking
D's nuts. Wouldn't it be awesome if fucking after Election Day it's like, well, apparently the write-in candidate D's nuts won by a resounding, 83%.
I'm voting for Ross Perot.
They got to wake him up or pull him out of cryogenics.
I'm going to tell you right now. I'll tell you what. I'll go in there right now and I'll fix everything.
I'll fuck everybody.
Right in the ass.
No, seriously. Look at the fucking Yosemite Sam. No, but my classic.
How about you? You got a classic over there?
Yeah, my classic was, in my car, I was all excited. One of the things that was cool about my car is I finally, because I had a 1997 truck.
Yes.
So I finally got a new truck 20 years later. 20-something years later, actually. And it's got everything in it, MP3, all that shit. Little place to put my flash drive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I loaded a shit ton of music on there. And one of the things I loaded on there was a collection of all the remasters of the Van Halen albums. So
nice.
Really got into something. I think it was Diver Down that had Hang 'Em High.
Yeah, I love that
really
song.
Dug that tune. So I was like, dude, I forgot about this shit, so let's fucking play that.
You know it's right.
I love it. You're bloody well right.
I really, you're right. Right.
Quite
bloody
right.
Well right.
So what you
and
get?
Anybody that knows out there who sang that.
Oh, that's right. We were like arguing over right who in. Sang it. I don't know why I thought Supertramp sang
Super
it.
I'm talking about a boyfriend, girlfriend.
I don't know how that fucking
goes. I was going to say, I don't know how you know that song.
It's fucking annoying me, right?
And bloody well right?
Yeah.
Sung by Supertramp.
No fucking right. Look at you. You stumped the Genghis.
I just float out of the room. Deal with it.
It's called Gag the Genghis, Holmes.
No, it's called Bloody Well Ride, dude, by Supertramp.
That's the name of the song?
Yeah, I told you. You should fucking listen to me every now and then. Just every now and then. Most of the time, I'm full of shit.
Dude, we got Anthrax.
It's Holmes. What do you think of that? He's fucking tired. He's like, I'm so fucking tired.
He's like, I'm Indian, right? American Indian. And I'm a fucking tired Indian. In me little black shirt.
That's right.
I'm going to a hoedown after this, right?
I can't even do this concert without my jeans on. So, you got a pick of the week, or do I got to throw mine out there? Because I got a good one.
Well, I'm going to go with a little Thraxage off the new record.
For a pick of the week? Oh, the new record, okay.
Oh, no, I just won't even pick that since you've questioned me.
Since you fucking exposed my bullshit. This guy.
Well, Joey may fuck it up for me, too.
JB?
Joey Holmes.
B-Dub?
Joey. Fucking Joey. Oh, wow. I thought I had it on.
Joey, not there. Ramones. Belladonna.
I don't want to be cliche, but I really dig this song. Breathing Lightning, Holmes.
Motherfucker.
Everybody's like,
you son of a bitch. Cliche son of a
dude,
bitch.
Dude, they're like the Beatles. They all have matching shirts.
We got a little fucking outfit.
Fucking
we got a uniforms. It's just part of the contract.
That was Scott's
Homeboy's
idea.
Homeboy's got his flying V out.
Scott, I'm a real dick, right? But
I know. It's too bad.
Dude, I'm not the only one that thought he was a cocksucker. Somebody else said he was a cocksucker.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Some other guy I can't name or identify or prove exists.
Hello?
I didn't see him here, did you?
I don't know. I thought I gassed the room.
Hey, guys, it's Eddie Trunk from that, I mean, formerly from that metal show.
Way
yeah, formerly's right.
Yeah.
Did you see any of my tanks on Access TV?
Yeah, I did, unfortunately, yeah.
I lost some weight. I look really good right now.
Instead of
fucking
word,
you even talking
saying
to us?
Because Scott's a good friend of mine, and you just—he just doesn't like you because you guys are assholes.
Oh yeah, sure.
And
how long you known him?
I've known him for 45 years.
Were y'all school kids together?
No, just when I got in my radio career.
I thought you've only been doing radio for 30 years.
I did it from my parents' basement. I was in high school, asshole.
Oh yeah, I'm the idiot.
Oh yeah, sorry. Sorry, you know everybody.
Hold on, Scott's texting me.
Fucking God.
Are you talking to those assholes on the Right to Rock? Yes!
Eddie, what the fuck do you want?
It was my idea for the shirts.
Nobody cares.
Clarifies everything.
Yeah.
A douche move, bro. Douche fucking move.
Edward Scott Trunk.
Scott.
That's his middle name.
Scotty.
Don't make fun of a douchey paper name again, please.
That's the beauty of it. We don't need to make fun of it. It makes fun of itself.
The boys at school used to teach me.
Can we be done with this and play the Anthrax already? Or I'm just going to pick my... I'm just going to change my
I'm
pick.
I'm pretty sure. I don't want to start a rumor, but I'm pretty sure he played that little German boy in the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Got stuck in the pipe. I think it was Eddie Trunk.
Stop hurting me. Stop hurting me now.
You know it's true, dude. You got to admit it.
It's so painful. I can't even talk. I'm leaving.
A good Aww. Job, Genghis. Bring up Willy Wonka and that motherfucker's out of here. Fuck, he turns into a blueberry princess. Okay, have we played Anthrax yet?
Have we played anything? I don't think so.
Anthrax, Breathing Lightning. Let's do it. Joey's dying his hair.
Dude, clearly.
Like, no, it's not dying. It's so natural,
like,
right?
It's 60 years old and they're
fucking... I gotta tell you, Holmes can still fucking sing though, right?
Oh, sure.
Doesn't he sound good?
He does sound good, yeah.
And that's live.
Well, I guess it's, yeah.
Look
right.
at Chaz on the drums.
Chaz.
I heard Chaz had some problems.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Chaz is in...
Charlie Benanti.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why.
That's Holmes from Shadows Fall.
I knew there was somebody in here from another band. I couldn't remember who it was. That's right, because Spitz is out, right?
Yeah, Spitz
He's probably
is
been
out
for a while, right?
Well, Rob Carciano, he left the band. He was producing them and playing guitar,
mm-hmm.
and then he left to go to Volbeat. I don't dig Volbeat.
Yeah.
Do
a
you?
Too funky?
I
wouldn't know, to be honest, I wouldn't know if Volbeat's only
generic,
heard
generic, just, I don't dig them. But a lot of people like them. And they got a pit. There's one dude in the pit. You see him?
The loneliest pit ever.
And that's Anthrax. You would think there'd be a huge pit. Yeah. There's like one dude going from side to side. He's like, these old fuckers.
And they're all dressed, too. You know, usually there's all those dickheads that are like, no fucking shirt.
Yeah.
They're just ready to just fucking expose themselves. And these assholes, they all got their shirt on. They're all standing around like, I'm not getting that fucking pit.
No shit.
Fuck that.
You got a pick of the week over there?
You know I do, Holmes. You know, one of the bands I've been digging a lot lately is Good Tiger.
Oh, I dig those guys.
Those motherfuckers are badass.
They are
fucking from
good.
The UK, and they just had their debut album, A Head Full of Moonlight, and I reviewed it for 4 out of 4 horns up, of course.
Nice.
They're kind of genty a little bit. It's a sort of a super group, really, because you got dudes from Tesseract, you got dudes from like Architects UK, The Faceless, Conquering Dystopia, all these funky, more the progressive technical metal type dudes.
May I interrupt?
You already did.
And so these motherfuckers...
You said they're gents? Are they fancy lads?
No, they're D-J-E-N-T, the musical
gent.
Genre. Right.
Gent, like a gentleman, like an English gentleman.
No, like the musical style called gent.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I didn't think you would.
Surprise, surprise.
Like Animals as Leaders, they're gent.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so these guys are sort of like that. I basically compared them to... It's like a mix between Tesseract... and Scale the Summit.
Oh, nice.
Because Tesseract in that great fucking vocals. Vocals of this kind of a high-pitched dude, clear-sounding voice, beautiful voice, dude's a great singer. And then Scale the Summit's got that great kind of melodic, just almost like Eric Johnson on the prog metal side. So you mix all that together, and it's a really great fucking sound. Anyway, hell, just right off the beginning of the album is Where Are the Birds. That's a great fucking song.
Let's do it.
Check that one out.
I wanted to thank you real quick. There's some mentions real quick. Our last show, do want to apologize. The sound quality wasn't the best. We did our best. We thought we had some good content, so we went ahead and put it up. But we did have some sound issues.
Hopefully
so
we got that, apologize. Getting that ironed out.
Yeah, yeah. But I want to thank Genghis, man. You turned me on to Mira. I really dig those guys.
Are they badass,
cool.
Dude?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're different, but yeah. They fucking love it, dude.
Yeah, I was listening to that. I was like, fuck, that's a good tune, man.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah. So.
And check out their video. At first, it's kind of funny. It's like, am I watching Prince of Persia? But because it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
But they're fucking awesome, dude. And sweet. They're almost like a Symphony X-y kind of thing, but like a Middle Eastern vibe to it.
Oh, nice.
And you think, like, what the fuck? But you listen to it and go, holy shit, these guys are great. I hope to hear more from them. I hope they do some more shit.
Yeah.
Maybe even tour would be awesome.
Oh, fuck yeah. Well, cool. Well, guys, as always, we want to thank you for joining us, and we want to give you two big horns up.
Bang, bang, what's that sound? This is Ted Poley of Danger, Danger, and you are rocking to the Genghis and Ragman Show. Horns up!
It's been a long time. Ragman, mano e mano, with an old friend. It's been 9 long years, way too long for one of my favorite vocalists, Mr. Ted Pauly from Danger Danger. Give it up, people. Ted, how you doing?
Ragman, how are you, man?
Dude, doing good, man. It's been way too long. Lots happened since the Smile record. I think we talked about was Danger Danger going to be something in the future, and at that point, I don't think we knew. Or I guess we did know. I guess you'd been with the band, but you didn't know how long it would last, and here you are, you know, what, 12 years later since you got back with the guys, and still rolling strong, huh?
Yeah, look what happened. It took this time, so.
And here you are coming out with a really killer new solo record that I want to jump into. But actually, I want to ask you, you haven't put anything out solo-wise in a while. I guess the last Danger Danger record came out a few years back. So what have you been up to? I know you've been touring with Danger Danger, I guess, selectively. You guys did that tour, I guess it was about a year ago, where y'all were playing some shows. And I think you were doing the first record, if memory serves.
Actually, we reunited with the original members, which was really cool, for a couple of shows in the U.S. and Japan and in England as well. But we're always touring. We're always technically on the road, quote-unquote. I've been doing a lot of touring and recording. I do video game music. I do a lot of projects, a lot of other things. And it takes a lot of time to compile a really good full album. So a lot of stuff behind the scenes. But mostly live shows. Been working my way as a solo artist, expanding on that, as well as, of course, playing with Danger Danger. So yeah, having the best of both worlds. Had a lot of fun and a lot of frequent flyer miles of going all over the place.
I bet, man. Well, I got to ask a question, and I actually had called into a show where I think Bruno was doing some interviews and had asked some questions, but I didn't get to ask one because they cut me off too quick. But did you guys happen to film anything for a live DVD for the reunion shows?
No, I think they bootlegged it in Japan. I have a copy of it, but it wasn't our best night of the whole thing. I think we were pretty jet-lagged, and it was at the end, and of course...
Oh, that's a bummer, because that would have been really cool to see you guys all together again.
You know, it was a lot of fun, and, you know, what can I say? Yeah, if we would have put it out, it would have been neat, but, you know, getting together like that, it wasn't maybe even as rehearsed as I would have liked it, or as the lineup, you know, the regular lineup of Danger Danger is, because everybody's so busy, and we were all doing our things, and, you know, the shows were a lot of fun, but it wasn't maybe something on those first few that I would have wanted to live on forever. You know, maybe if we were going to do a DVD, a few more rehearsals and a few more shows to warm up for it would have been awesome.
Yeah, that would have helped out a little bit, right?
A little bit. I mean, it was good. It was a lot of fun, but it was more about having fun and doing something really special for the fans rather than having, you know, having it really live on forever.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it's been, I guess, 2009 is when the Danger Danger record came out, and you hadn't really put anything out since. I know this new record, have you spent a lot of time putting this material together? Actually, can you just kind of tell us how this record came together?
Actually, I've been hoarding songs for years. Of course, I think, as you mentioned, the last solo record I did was in 2007, and then we did Revolve, which came out in 2009, I believe. And since then, once again, just a lot of touring, and time flies, you know, when you're having fun. But I always collect and hoard cool songs when I hear them with sort of a future project in mind. And after that many years, I had enough songs that actually I had about 60 songs that we sorted through to come up with the 11 that we ended up with. And the timing was right. Frontiers, which is an awesome label, came to me. I've been working with them for 15 to 20 years on and off. And they suggested that it was time to put out a new Ted Pauly solo album. And since I had the songs saved and I was sort of ready to go after a few years of not doing that, the timing was right. And we did it. They paired me up with Alessandro Del Vecchio, who's an awesome producer. And I did it in Italy. And just was a lot of fun, and one of the more fun records to record, and I think you could hear that if you listen to it. I'm kind of smiling while I'm singing.
Oh, nice, man. Nice. Well, that was one of my questions, because I know Frontiers, and man, what a great label and what they've done for, you know, the bands from your era and my era, bringing them back and giving them opportunities to get new music out. To me, I mean, I'm just so thankful for a label like that out there.
They keep it alive, man. They are keeping it going. And there are a few smaller labels than them that still, you know, they've been around and they're doing their thing in Europe. Not too much in the U.S. as far as I know, but Frontiers has been really supportive, especially not only our music, but they've got a lot of my favorite artists, progressive rock and heavy stuff, and they seem to be, you know, the new monster on the block. They're great and they deserve it.
Oh, yeah, and the distribution they get in the U.S. is amazing. I mean, seeing these records in Best Buy or whoever sells a CD these days. I'm an old-school guy. I like CDs. I want to hold it in my hand and read through the liner notes and lyrics and the whole nine yards.
As do a lot of my fans, and you're right about that. I find that people, actually the lack of the smaller mom-and-pop record stores now forces them to either buy it directly from me or, as you say, maybe be lucky and find it in a Best Buy if you're fortunate to be on a label like Frontiers that can get it in stores like that these days. But yeah, it's tough to actually get your hands on a physical CD. You got to pay shipping and all sorts of things, get it from other countries sometimes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I ordered Cockroach because I never had that. And, man, that thing is hard as hell to find. And I paid a top dollar for it. And it took, God, I don't even know where it came from, but it took like a month to get here. I'm down in Texas, so I was like, holy shit, I forgot I ordered this. But, no, I'd always heard that music on that record, and just never had the hard copy, so I was like, man, I got to get this thing, so, yeah. Before it goes out of print, you know?
You know, CDs always sell better than downloads as well, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, let me ask you this. As far, and this was what I found interesting, and I wasn't sure until you just kind of clarified for me. I know Frontier sets up a lot of really good vocalists with, I guess, not really a house band or studio guys, but guys that, you know, are, you know, with other bands and stuff like that, sometimes Italian or from Europe and so forth. And basically, some of these guys just write records, and then a guy comes in and sings, like, I know, I'm trying to think of, I just had the guy on the tip of my tongue, and I forgot, Harry Hess from Harum Scarum.
You had Harry Hess on the tip of your tongue?
Mm. Well, God.
If anybody was just tuned in.
Oh, shit, now, the joke, the gig is up.
The first thing I think they heard you say was, I had this guy on the tip of my tongue.
Oh, God.
Holy, you just hit the wall and skid it off. Anyway.
Oh, shit, I think we need to start this from scratch.
No, I know where you were going with that. And actually, excellent question, because there are a lot of guys that not only prefer it that way, but sort of need it that way. They need a guy to, you know, they can sign their name to a record deal. They can do that, and they might have, you know, some really good singing talent, but they don't have a clue as to how an album is made. And Frontiers needs to rely on, they have a couple of guys in their stable that they trust and they know will do a good job producing, and then, you know, somebody like Alessandro will take a singer like that and hold their hand and walk them through and make sure that, you know, that they get a good end product for the label. In my case, it's exactly the opposite. Frontiers was awesome in the way that they suggested that I pair up with Alessandro, which would have been my own suggestion anyway, so I loved it. He was my first choice, and I've already worked with Alessandro and Anna and Mario, and they were my band for certain, you know, shows in Italy, and they were the natural choice to record. I love them as musicians. They're really awesome, and really they didn't give me any direction at all. They didn't tell me what to do, who to hire, what songs. They didn't hear a thing. They trusted me completely, which could have backfired, been horrible, but as it turns out, the stars aligned, and we got very lucky. We worked very hard, and it came out. I couldn't be more thrilled with how it came out. I believe Frontiers is very happy with it. They sent me an email the other day congratulating me on the nice reviews, and it all worked out, so they trusted me, and I wasn't one of those singers that needed to be taken through. I love hands-on on everything. I co-produced with Alessandro. I'm incapable of sitting back and letting somebody tell me what to do. So good or bad, the album is a direct reflection of me.
That's awesome, man. It was very refreshing when you said that, to know that it wasn't just, hey, I got these songs, I sang them, I did my best. At that point, you know, you kind of feel like, you know, how much was really vested in this? Was this just, you know, like you said, a recording opportunity?
There's a need for that because everybody has to work. And if you sing, that's what you do, and you have to take money. You can't always, you know, everybody doesn't get to do what they absolutely love and choose to do every day. I mean, maybe if your name is John Bon Jovi, you probably do. Otherwise, most of us can do the things they love sometimes, and sometimes you have to do some things because it pays the bills, and that's what you do. And then you're fortunate that for any sort of work in the field that you do. So I understand. And look, there's a lot of singers that are great singers, and you've gotten some cool records. They're not expected to be producers. They're singers. So in that way, there's definite role for those producers, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. And, dude, I'll buy it every time since it's the guy I like that sings, too. You know?
There you go. It's all about, you know what, and most people don't care. Production, they don't care about any of that stuff, you know, that they put on. They start singing along to a song or they say, oh, I like this guy. You know, it's about emotion. It's about, you know, music isn't about, most people couldn't care less how it was recorded or where it was recorded. You know, they just know they like it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, I want to bring up a song on the new record, and I got to tell you, when I first heard it, I was scratching my head because I said, you know what? I freaking know this song. I know this song. It drove me fucking crazy, Ted. I swear. I went up to my CD collection. I got a ton of CDs. I think we've addressed that. And I was racking my freaking brain, and then it got stuck in my head. You probably know what I'm talking about.
Lay down your loaded gun.
Dude, what a great freaking song. What a great take you had on it, man.
I was waiting 30 years to sing that song. That song was originally, well, it was written by, I'm so proud to say, a friend of mine, which is Jolyn Turner, one of the singing gods of all time.
He's Hell yeah.
Hero, and I've known him for, I don't know, I want to say 25 or 30 years now, even longer. But I've always looked up to him. And in the early days of Danger Danger, he submitted a song, actually, for our first record, which was Hands of Love. And we decided later on that we were going to write all of our own songs without outside writers. But I loved that song, and I was always disappointed that I didn't get a chance to sing that, because I think that would have been a huge hit back then, and I just really loved that song. So I remembered it forever. Then a little bit later on, the band that you remember it from called The Blondes,
yeah,
who actually were signed by the guy who signed us to CBS, and he was trying to recreate almost Danger Danger at the time, but it was way too late. It was you know, pretty much 5 minutes to grunge, and there was no hope. But they did a really nice job on that song, and when I heard it, you know, I said, ah, that's great, and they did it, but I still, you know, always wanted to do it. So now it's not only a tribute to Jolyn Turner, but it's a tribute to the Blondes and a tribute to our whole era, and I recorded it in a big way, with modern technology, in a way that got the big choruses of old, but, you know, there's about 85 tracks of backing vocals on there, so it had to be done with, you know, modern digital stuff just piling on the vocals, and, you know, I think it would have been a really cool song back in the day.
Onto the iPod.
Cool.
So I've got you and the Blondes back to back with their versions of Hands of Love.
Well, maybe they're selling a few records thanks to me.
You never know, man.
Out there, maybe they'll start doing some festivals. Hey, any band, you know, from that era that even got that far is really cool.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, man.
Yeah,
and
I think they deserve another 5 minutes. They can get their 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, yeah. They did. Like you said, they got in a little too late, and
we got in a little too late. They got in pretty much. We got in at a quarter to grunge. They got in as they flipped the switch, the off switch. So.
Yeah, I agree. Which is sad because there was still some pretty good music coming out in that era, but it just got wiped away by the grunge.
That's all it was. You know, it didn't matter what anybody was doing. They just decided to go the other way.
Well, another track I want to bring up, and it's kind of a ballad, is We Are Young. I really dig that song. Can you tell us a cool story of how that song came together for you?
I picked them, I arranged them, I saved them, I knew they'd be cool, I knew I could sing them really well. But I have to give a lot of that credit to Tom and James Martin. They're actually songwriters from England, they're brothers. They have their own awesome band called Vega, and before you actually had Harry Hess on your tongue, it's their new album. And it's pretty funny because their new album came out the same day, I think, as my new album, which was written by them. So they have two albums coming out the same day, and they're in competition with themselves.
Oh, wow.
So there, see, I took it full circle from your tongue back all the way around through Harry Hess through that question back to your tongue. Go.
Well, I was going to ask if Harry landed on your tongue.
No, that's not. I love Harry. As a matter of fact, I've crashed his stage many times, jumped up. I can't, you know, when I go see Harum Scarum, you can't keep me in the audience. I have to jump up and sing a chorus that I don't even know the words to and jump back down. I love him, too. And that whole band is great. Pete has actually played on one of my tracks, I think, on one of my solo records, I believe on the Collateral Damage CD, he guested on there. I had some really cool guitar players on there. So I have a history with Harum Scarum that goes back, and I've been a huge Harum Scarum fan. And he did a great job producing the Vega CD.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Harry's a great producer. And
yep.
Pete, what a phenomenal guitar player. He's actually a pretty good friend of the show. He's on quite often. So we always love having Pete on, that's for sure.
Oh, cool.
Well, is there a song that that came out better on the record that you thought might not make it because you just couldn't get it worked out?
You know what? That's a good question also. Hey, you're full of them today, man. because you know what? Songs take on a life of their own, and some that I thought might be come out one way came out maybe not as the way I anticipated, and some that were kind of sleepers really rocketed to my own number one position. I love the song Stars, which I don't know what number it is on there, maybe about five tracks in, or six tracks, and it just came out, like, bombastically. It really came to life, and huge chorus, and lots of vocals, and I thought it was a cool song, that's why I wanted to record it, but when it was done, it just became really cool. I'm very proud of that one.
Burn under the spotlight. Summer fire with my conviction.
times that you have the real big back horses on the record, and you got the digital technology you didn't have back in the day. Was this album a little bit more challenging for you with all the extra vocals, vocal tracks you were doing?
No, it's not more challenging. It's always the same. It's always been the same. Actually, it used to be challenging just waiting for the tape to rewind. Now with digital, the time that you save just waiting for them to rewind the tape is probably days, weeks of time. So hard to understand if you're not in the studio, but when you roll tape back on a big tape machine, it takes a few seconds to line up and then to play it. And every time you sing the same line, that's time that you're just spending in the studio. Now you just hit a little button, it returns to the original position, RTZ, return to zero, and you can just sing it 10 times and just in a few minutes, you know, in a minute or two.
Oh, well, that's
so
pretty sweet.
Actually, so it really enables you to really sing it a lot more and get what you want, because you have more time to sing, less time rewinding tape.
Oh, there you go. There you go. When you did this record, did you record it over in Italy? And was everything just pre-recorded and you came in and sang? Or did y'all work anything out in the studio?
Oh, we worked it all out. And yes, I did go to Italy. I felt, you know, you can send files back and forth these days, but I felt it was important, you know, to work directly with Alessandro and come up with some cool things. And then I got to play some musical parts and other things, and I had fun in Italy. It was great. But before I got there, I very much co-produced all of the music with Alessandro. We first picked the songs, then we arranged them, got them in the right keys, and chopped them to little bits and find what you like, and then we'd record them, and I'd ask them to re-record certain parts and re-record certain parts again, not because of mistakes. Sometimes I loved something so much, I said, double that, you know, let's make that part longer, or things like that, and change beats, change things. So it took weeks of that. We did it over Skype. You know, we would have coffee and discuss the day's musical things and work on things together. And that's how we got all the music together. We'd send files every day and then work on that. And eventually you get all of the music down to a certain point and where I can then go sing it. So before I sang it, yeah, there's a lot of work that goes in.
Well, that's interesting. It's kind of interesting that you went to the studio. You kind of did both. I think it's more organic if you're there live in person doing stuff than doing the files. And it shows that it seems like on this record that you do have that personalization where you are in the studio and working some of the stuff out.
Yeah, and you're 100% right. Yep, it's more organic. It's just all around a better feel.
Well, I wanted to...
If she doesn't like something, we can just try it again. It's not like, you know, it's something that I sang 2 weeks ago and sent a file and have to go back to a studio somewhere and redo it. He could just look at me and say, and we know when we have the right take. We don't need to say anything. We just know it's right. So if you're not sure it's the right take, then it's not the right take.
Well, let me ask you this. And you mentioned the Vega guys had written a good portion of the record. Is any of your stuff on there, or is it mainly just the tracks?
I influenced the hell out of it, but...
Oh, good.
Technically, nope, they wrote it all. And you know what? Like I said, we started out with over 60 songs. Some of them were completely mine. And they may come out in other projects or pieces here and there, but I really loved, you know, when you have to come down to 11 and it's really important you throw out your own ideas if you feel something else is stronger. And in this case, I didn't care who wrote it. I just knew what was good. And from the reviews, I made the right decision, I think. So sometimes you have to take your own art and make it, you know, without an ego and stow it for the sake of the project.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. And it's, again, refreshing to hear that how involved you were on the record. Because you can tell, I mean, it's kind of got that classic D2 sound from, like, the first record at times. I mean, some of it, I mean, not to make it sound like it sounds dated, it doesn't sound dated, but it brings back some of those, the vibes of the, you know,
no,
when
thanks.
You...
I tell people, I think if you're unsure, you know, if you don't have the CD yet, or, you know, the album, whatever, the MP3... If you liked anything, you know, about Danger Danger, it's not Danger Danger. But if you like that, then I think you'll find things in this that you'll enjoy as well. You know, it's still me. So I don't know. I can only be me. And if you like Danger Danger, I didn't, you know, mess things up and take a drastic departure away.
Yeah, you're not singing show tunes. That's a good thing.
No show tunes.
If you do that, we would have to talk. We are talking, but we'd have to talk more.
Well, you're the one with the guys on your tongue there. So
you're going to bust my balls the whole interview, aren't you?
You
I'd step right in into that thing, and I'm not going to get out. I'm in quicksand.
It was a gift that we'll keep on giving throughout.
Well, that doesn't even sound good either. That sounds even worse. You just brought it to a new low. Thanks, Ted. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Hey, I want to bring up another song, and I'm digging this one too, Where I Lost You, kind of a mid-tempo rocker thing. Do you? Let me ask you this. When you're doing these songs, do you like more of the ballady stuff? You like the up-tempo stuff, or you like the mid-tempo, or you kind of you like it all?
On there, it had to pass me, but that's a cool song that you chose, and that's I love that song. And they made that an acoustic version as well. We put out for the Japanese version edition of the CD, which is really cool. If you haven't heard it, I'm sure you can look that up somewhere and, you know, get the acoustic version. But that's a very cool song, a little bit different for me, and some really cool guitar work on there, and just I don't even know what to say about it. It's something I hope people will listen to, because it's kind of a cool, a little bit something different for me, and it's not ballad, you know, that's for sure. And the slow stuff isn't the most thrilling for me to sing, so there's not that much really slow stuff, except for really the ballad, which is cool in its own way. But otherwise, mid tempo, you know, the rockers or whatever.
Well, I know on some of these Frontiers releases, which I think is always really cool, and I have the digital so far of your new record, but did y'all do like a bonus little DVD of in the studio type footage or anything like that to include, or is it just a CD?
Oh, it's a CD, because you can get that online for free. They put up the EPK, the Electronic Press Kit, which is the wave of the present, which is awesome. It's like a futuristic thing on YouTube, and you can go on there, and it's like a little documentary, and you can see the studio, and I talk about it, and it's really cool. One of the things that Frontiers does, which is great for promotion, so we actually film that in the studio. It talks about various things. If you look it up on, it's actually on Heavy Rotation on YouTube, so you can find it at any time you want. But if you look up, I believe, Ted Poley, Beyond the Fade, EPK, you can see that.
Well, that's awesome, and that's another benefit of Frontiers that the other labels aren't doing. And I know I saw a really cool thing after Jimmy Bain passed, the Last in Line. They had done a bunch of that recording in the studio in some really cool last interview footage with Jimmy before he passed.
Yeah, you know, Frontiers is great with, you know, the promotion materials. You know, it's amazing.
Well, what are your thoughts on the market these days? I know we've kind of hit on, you know, CDs and digital and that thing, this, that, and the other thing. What do you see as far as our type of music or your type of music? Do you see kind of a resurgence? And what kind of feedback have you had on the record so far?
Oh, two completely different questions.
Oh, yeah. I got something on my tongue.
Feedback on the record's been awesome. I'm thrilled. It's surprising in a good way. I've never really released a project that's actually had such overwhelming positive feedback, which is kind of a strange but easy feeling to get used to, but you don't, because then the next thing, you know, you can't hope for that. But I've been very happy. Everybody's been very cool on this one. Great reviews. And as far as what was the first question of the two, what was that question?
That's a good question. Crap.
guy stumped both of us.
Yeah, yeah.
The market. What is the market like?
Yeah, yeah. Well, what are your thoughts on the market for your genre of music right now? There's a bit of a resurgence with some of these festivals.
You know what? There's festivals of every type of music. The only resurgence is that people have grown up and they have some expendable income and they can come see the shows and enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. But as far as resurgence, it's just easier to find what you like because you can search it online and you can order it and you can just download it. So I don't know if anything is that much more popular that we're doing or resurging. It's just more convenient for people to get, which is awesome. And, you know, I'm just glad, you know, maybe we're sort of nostalgic now. It's not so much about how great the song is. It's about what they're feeling when they hear the song now because I remind them of a special time in their life, and that's cool. So I'll sing that song, and we can all have that awesome feeling together, and then the next day we can all wake up and get back to the real world, this reality. But for now, I think it's all mostly about that, going out and sort of recreating that feeling that we all had in the late 80s and having a fun time, and then, like I say, dealing with the boss the next day.
Well, I want to ask you about an older band that you were in that after D2, the first time, Bone Machine. What's going on with Bone Machine? Is there ever any thought of you guys doing anything again?
That was, again, one of my projects, but, you know, it was a band. Actually, it was one of my favorite projects that I've done. I actually have the bass player from Bone Machine is in my solo U.S. band right now. Pete Luello's playing with me again. It's great. And that band was really incredible. It had J3 as the guitar player, and J3 went on to Methods of Mayhem with Tommy Lee, and just rocking out. He's touring the world now doing, you know, sound engineering for some huge acts. But that was a super talented band. We actually toured the UK with that. We did some really cool stuff. That's all on video. But one of my favorite bands, so thanks for mentioning that. The Disappearing Ink CD, the ones with my awful premonition of the World Trade Center, goes for like $100 or more on eBay. It's just really cool stuff. But Bone Machine, it rocked, and you can find some of those songs on some of my greatest hits CDs. But yeah, it was a fun chapter for sure.
I was going to ask you.
That was my heaviest.
Oh yeah, again, and I like heavy, and I like when you sing with the heavier stuff behind you too. I always think your voice really sounds good with the heavier type guitars and bass and stuff behind you too. I mean, you can do both.
You can hide it a little more, so that's what people like.
Exactly. Well, have you thought, and I want to get on to touring real quick, but in your set, have you included any Bone Machine stuff? I'd love to hear Miss Frankenstein live.
Good one. Maybe I'll throw that back in. I do play Man Alive, which was cool. I forget which one that was on. I think Disappearing Ink. But yeah, we do some Bone Machine here and there. I like to mix it up.
Nice. Well, as far as touring goes, are you going to concentrate on Europe and doing some festivals this summer, or are you going to do some stuff in the States?
I've been doing a lot in Europe, and this year I have a new agent. We're doing a lot more in the U.S. with my solo band. Danger Danger still tours all over. We'll be doing Loud Park 16 in Tokyo and a few other things, but I'll be more visible in the U.S. this year at some festivals. I'll be doing a couple of the farm rock festivals and trying to think. The Monsters of Rock Cruise, of course, which I love. I love the Monsters of Rock Cruisers. They're so supportive, and they've been awesome. You know, just, you know, it's a lot of touring. I just love it. I'm on the road all year.
Oh, man, good for you, man. I'm glad you can still do it. That's awesome. You have to come to Texas. We'll grab a beer.
I was there. We did the 80s Invasion Tour in 2013, my solo stuff. I was there with Bang Tango and Enough's Enough, and we played a few places in Texas. It was pretty insane, actually. A lot of fun.
See, it's time to come back. It's been 3 years.
We were there in August. It was not chilly.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Right on the border, I think, of Mexico and the U.S., and it was really hot.
Yeah, make sure you're playing indoors if you're here in, say, from May to, like, October, November.
Yeah, well, actually, we were driving through the desert down there, and right in August, and we were running on one generator in the bus, and we were afraid. We had a two-day run through the desert, and you have to go with two generators, and if you go with one and one fails, you can't stand outside of the bus, and you have no air conditioning inside of the bus, so I'm not sure what you do. I guess you die. we were on one generator, and it was a little scary for 2 days, because if that would have gone, that would have been it, but, you know, we made it, but, yeah, it was hot.
I can imagine, man. I can imagine. Well, Ted, before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans out there?
I would. I want to thank you. I want to thank everybody, really, for your support. You know, I can't believe at this age I'm still able to do this. Thanks to you all out there. Thank you very much. I hope you love the new record, and I'll see you somewhere on the road. And I need to take a minute to please say, everybody out there, my thing is, if you buy something from me, I always will donate a certain percentage to help homeless animals. And if you already have the CD, that's awesome. And if you don't want the CD, that's cool too. But take a couple of bucks, please, out there and donate it to a local no-kill animal shelter near you and help the homeless animals. And you're awesome people for doing that. And I thank you for supporting that cause.
That's awesome, Ted. Well, Ted, we want to thank you for coming on the RightToRock.com, the Genghis and Ragman show. And we want to tell all the fans to go out and get Ted's new release, Beyond the Fade, out on Frontiers Records. Ted, awesome talking, man, and I hope we can hook up at some point and have a beer, man. It'd be awesome to meet you in person.
Horns up, Ragman.
Horns up, brother. Take care.
Take it easy.
Some mistakes in the past, even some I've learned to live with, but I'm so tired of running away. I was down and out, and I had my doubts that we'd ever meet again. I was so
and Ragman Show. We hope you check out our website at therighttorock.com, where you can find music and video reviews along with occasional bits of other metal and beer-related info. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Our show's posted on a regular schedule, but we average a couple a month, so feel free to leave a review and tell your friends so we can spread the word. But above all, please check out the artists we play on the show and support good music wherever you find it by buying from your favorite merchants. And that definitely includes the amazing Tracy G. We love you, brother, who writes all of our original theme music. You can find him online at TracyG.com, so check him out. Well, that's it, and there it is. I'm your announcer, Joey Clams, reminding you to drink good beer, support good music, and keep those horns up.